Well, that was nice of Jimmy to say I could go extra long this morning. Well, I want to start by sharing a quote from my dad, believe it or not. If some of you have heard me talk about my dad, I just thought that's the way people were until I spent more time with Jimmy. And it turns out my dad has a lot of great sayings. And I'll often say something, and Jimmy will look at me and say, "That came from your dad, didn't it?" And I'll say, "Yeah." So he's a man of a lot of wisdom and great sayings. And one of the ones I heard fairly frequently growing up was, "The whole world's crazy, but me and thee. And sometimes I wonder about thee." Now, what he was often observing when he would say that, or what we would be seeing, is somebody doing something that just didn't make any sense to us at all. And we all come from different backgrounds, and we all have different upbringings, and we all think about things differently, and we filter life through different filters and lenses, and so we make different decisions. Now, it would be boring if we were all identical, I agree, but sometimes I watch things happen and scratch my head and think, what was that person thinking? And it reminds me that the whole world's crazy, but me and thee, and sometimes I wonder about thee. Well, if you're new here or visiting this morning, the way we approach scripture and preaching here is we pick a book of the Bible and we just slowly walk through the entire book verse by verse. So you're joining us in the middle of 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn there so you can follow along. If you did not bring a Bible, if you look under the seats in front of you, there's Bibles kind of dispersed throughout. 2 Corinthians, close to the back, as you're flipping through, you'll see Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians. Then we'll be in chapter 5. Chapter 5, we're going to pick up halfway through the chapter, but just to give you a little bit of context, the author of this little letter or book of the Bible, his name was Paul. He was an apostle. That meant he was charged by God to take God's message to the world, to the people. He had traveled around through much of what we know today as Asia and Europe and planted churches there. And so this letter was a letter to one of the churches that Paul had started. And it's the second one that we have in Scripture, but Paul started the church, left, and went on to go to another city and start another church. And there were some problems in Corinth at the church there. And so they sent word to Paul and asked him some questions, and he wrote back and answered their questions. And they sent and wrote again, and they went back and forth several times, and this is one of those letters back. And in this letter, much of what Paul does is defends his ministry to these people. It would seem that there are people who are influencing the church in such a way that they're saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't believe what Paul says, or maybe Paul doesn't have as much credibility as we first thought. And so Paul writes to defend his ministry in a lot of ways. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 11, he's defending his ministry in the middle of this chapter where we're going to kind of jump in and we'll see what he has to say there. But chapter 5, verse 11, we read this. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God. And I hope it is known also to your conscience. We're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Now, I just want to stop and kind of unpack these verses just a little bit. The last verse that I read to you, he says, if we're beside ourselves. Now, that word there that's beside ourselves, literally, it's a word that means if we're crazy, if we're out of our minds. If people look at us and say, the whole world's crazy, but me and thee. That's what Paul's saying here. He says, if people look at us and think that we're crazy, it's what? It's for God, he says. Now, why would people say Paul's crazy? Well, we're going to get into that as we go through these verses this morning, but back at the beginning, he says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. That's what Paul's ministry is. It's a ministry of taking the good news of Jesus to the world and persuading them of the truth, of sharing it with them. He says, but what we are is known to God. We're known to God. Other people in the world might think we're crazy. They might even come right out and say that we're crazy, and now and then someone will say it to your face directly. And Paul says, that's okay. That doesn't really matter. What matters is that God knows us. God knows us. And so we can be confident that standing before God, he knows we're of our right mind and that we're hopefully carrying out the ministry that he's given us. He adds, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Paul says, I hope at some level you understand what we're about. I hope at some level you get what my ministry was and why I came and why I shared and the truth of what I shared. And so he appeals to them that way. He says, now I'm not bragging about things. I'm not puffing myself up. I'm not even really defending myself. But I want to give you a response so that when you hear these things from people that you encounter who say, you know, that Paul, he seems a little crazy, that you can respond to them. And so that's what he's doing here as he's writing these words. Verse 14, he goes on, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. What is he talking about there? Well, it's kind of simple, and it's the thing that we were talking about this morning is people were being baptized. The good news that Paul preached, the gospel, that means good news, that he brought to the people was pretty simple and straightforward. And it was that as humans, all of us have messed up, every single one of us. If you ask people, what do you need to do to be right with God? Or if you died today, do you know for sure that you would spend eternity in heaven with God? You'll hear a lot of different answers from different people. Some people say things like, well, I'm basically a good person. Or if I compare myself to other people, I think I'm doing okay. And God says you're not measuring that right. In fact, God says the measure of against which you need to measure yourself is perfection. See, if we've messed up at all, we've fallen short of perfection. We've fallen short, and ultimately what we've done is we've rebelled against God. And God says that rebellion against him, it's deserving of punishment. Because we rebelled, we earned something. The thing that we earned is death. That's why in these verses, Paul says that all or must die. All will die because all have rebelled against God. But Paul says, one died for all. One died for all. And what he's talking about there is Jesus. Jesus came and lived a perfect life, never messed up. He actually measured up to the standard and didn't deserve death or punishment. But what he did is he said, I'm willing to give up my perfection and take everyone else's imperfection on me. I'm willing to take their place and die in their place. And so Jesus, the one, died for all. And that's what Paul came to preach. That was the gospel, the good news. And so he says what? He says, for the love of Christ controls us. It was because of love that Jesus did this for us. And Paul says, my motivation is because he loved me, I love him, and I'm compelled, motivated by his love, to share this with everyone. Why? So that people have a chance to respond. Now, what do you have to do to have Jesus take your place and die in your place and take the punishment you deserve? Well, the Bible's very clear. It's not anything that we do. It's something that we receive. It's a free gift that God gives us by grace. It means we didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us freely. All we have to do is accept that gift, and we do that simply by faith. We, in faith, believe that Jesus did what he said he was going to do, and that God, when he looks at us one day when we stand before him for judgment, is going to say, you believed in my son, he took your place, and so I'm going to consider you righteous before me because he already paid the price. And so the love of God, the love of Jesus willing to sacrifice himself is what motivates Paul to do his ministry. And that ministry is to persuade others of this so that other people can know the truth of the good news about Jesus. He goes on in verse 16, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." What is he talking about here? Well, Paul's actually referencing some verses in Isaiah back in the Old Testament. And Isaiah the prophet was delivering God's word to his people, and he was talking about a time that would come when Jesus would return and God would recreate the heavens and the earth. It would be a new creation. And Isaiah describes what that will be like, and all the things that seem to be broken in our world today are no longer broken. People's bodies don't break down and get sick, and people don't die. The world around isn't in chaos and a mess, but it's restored to what it once was. In the same way, Paul says when someone trusts Jesus for salvation, when he trusts him as their Savior, they're like a new creation. It's like they've been recreated. They're transformed. They're no longer the same. And so they may look the same. Right now, physically, we are the same. The people who were baptized, they don't look much different than they do when they trusted Christ. But inside, things are drastically different. Inside, they no longer are relying on themselves to mend that relationship with God. Inside, they're no longer struggling with the things that the world struggles with, and it causes the world around us to look at us and say, there's something different about those people. There's something that's noticeably different. In fact, they seem a little bit crazy at times. What's up with that? Paul says it's because they're a new creation. We're no longer depending on ourselves for salvation. We're depending on God. And the language that Paul uses here is that of reconciliation. Remember, before we were saved, we were enemies of God because we had rebelled against him by sinning. And so it says that there's nothing that we can do to fix that relationship. But what? Paul says God fixes it. He says God reconciled us to himself through Jesus. And so that relationship that was broken because of our rebellion is now brought back together. Perhaps you've known of a relationship between two people that has been broken, and one person walked away from the relationship. And they've been reconciled back together. That's the picture that Paul uses of our relationship with God being restored. No longer are we enemies, but we're restored in relationship with him. And he goes on in verse 20, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." If we're ones who have trusted and followed Christ, we're no longer like the world around us. They think we're crazy. And we might scratch our heads and think, well, once I've trusted Christ, why doesn't God just take me to heaven now and that'd be it? Well, Paul answers that in these verses. He leaves us here to take that message to other people. And then Paul uses a word to describe us. The word was ambassador. Think about an ambassador from one nation to another nation. If we have an ambassador for our nation go and represent us in another nation, he goes and lives in that other country. And not only does he live there, but he represents us to that country. And so when we're picking an ambassador, we want someone who will represent us well. We don't want somebody who's going to go and just party it up and be irresponsible and send the wrong message to the other country. But at the same time, that person doesn't just immerse themselves in the culture and become part of that country and leave behind their role and responsibility to us as our ambassador. In the same way, Paul says, that's what God does with each of us. We become ambassadors for Christ. We're like people living in a foreign country. We live and we represent the one who sent us to that foreign country, to the world around us. But we do it in such a way that we represent him well. And we carry that responsibility and we take his message to the people around us. We don't go around and make up our own message. We don't live in such a way that it brings dishonor on the one who sent us. But we live as ambassadors in this country, in this culture. Now, if you've met someone from another country or culture who's come and lived in your country or culture, there are things that they do differently. There are things that we don't quite understand or they don't understand about our culture. When I was in high school, we had a young girl from China who lived with us for a year while she was working on her PhD. And culturally, there were big differences between where she came from and where we were. And there were a lot of times where we laughed together over some of those differences where there were things that we took for granted that this is how it happened or how you did things that she had never even considered and vice versa. And that's how we should approach the culture that we live in. We're here, we're different. They're going to look at us and think, you're doing things a little bit strange. And that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. So what do I want you to walk away from this passage with this morning? There are a couple things, depending on where you're at. If you're someone who has not taken the step to trust Jesus for your salvation, then I challenge you, don't leave here without considering that this morning. I would love to talk to you about that after the service. Come and find me, and let's have a conversation and dig into that. It's crucial that you don't walk away from this. You're being offered a wonderful gift, a gift of reconciliation, a solution to a problem that you have no way of solving on your own. And so I'd love to talk to you about that. Don't leave here without considering that. But for the rest of you who have trusted in him, think about what Paul says in these verses. He's compelled to persuade others. His ministry is motivated by his love for Christ and what he's done for him, for Paul. And he knows and understands the truth of that gospel, and it's okay if the people around him think he's a little crazy because he's not being judged by what the world thinks of him. He's being judged by the one that he serves, and has he been faithful to carry that message to the world around him? Is he living as an ambassador? Are you living as an ambassador in a foreign world, representing the one that has saved you to that world? That's what we're called to do. And so I challenge you this week not to take these things for granted. Consider the gift that you've been given in salvation, the love that gift represents. And then I encourage you to respond in love back by living the way Paul calls you to live, by living in ministry. The whole world's crazy, but me and thee. It turns out that we're the crazy ones. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of that. And when the world looks at you, they should scratch their heads and wonder, what is it about that person that's different? Why, when they have problems, do they not respond the way I respond to problems and difficulties? Why do they seem to be joyful even when I know they struggle with this or that or have lost loved ones or things aren't going their way? What is it about them that's different? I need to know more. And then you be ready with the answer to that question. That's the challenge. Paul, an ambassador to the world. You and me, ambassadors to the world. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Father God, we are grateful for Paul and his ministry, his letters to your people. Father, I pray that we would take seriously the words that we encountered in your word this morning. I pray that as you speak to us through that we, if there are any here who are not your followers, that they would be convicted of their wrongdoing and that they would have a desire to to come and to become one of your children, to serve you, to accept that gift of salvation. And Father, for those of us who are your children, my prayer is that we would be faithful, that we would be obedient, that we would not forsake our responsibilities as an ambassador to this world, but that we would live as people on mission from you, here to deliver your message to this world, in spite of what they think of us. Father, we're grateful for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your love. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.